Saints, here we go with another message from the Word of God. Wanted to take this occasion to say God bless you and thank you to all of you who are praying for the fruitfulness of this ministry outreach and supporting. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, not because I desire a gift. In other words, I don't want you to help the ministry because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So we have it from the mouth of Christ Apostle Paul that allowing people to give to the work of God so that we are all fellow helpers to the truth. 3 John 8 is causing them to do what? Have fruit that may abound to your account. And I want you to underline the word account. Notice that every disciple of Jesus has an account in heaven. What's the difference? Well, what's in that account? What's in your account? What's in my account in eternal glory? Am I laying up treasure in heaven? Or am I squandering everything I have on earth instead of using some of it to lay up treasure in heaven in my account? That's not my words. Paul uses the word account. We all have an account in heaven. What's in your account, my friend? So notice here that Paul had an eternal perspective, as we see throughout his writings, that we look not at the things which are seen, for example, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. And God has called us to lay up treasure in heaven. That's what Jesus commanded. Do not waste or lay up treasure on earth. It's only temporal. Moth and rust does corrupt. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and thieves cannot break through and steal. This is treasure that will abound to the individual according to what he's given for all eternity in the kingdom of Christ. That's what the Bible calls in Proverbs 8, durable riches and honor. They're eternal. They endure for all eternity. Philippians 4:17, he's speaking about giving, and he says here, not because I desire a gift. You're allowed to give into the kingdom work of Christ, but it's not, Paul says, because I desire a gift. So we see that Paul had a broader perspective, unlike some today, regrettably.
Some people are very shallow
and narrow-minded in respect to the kingdom of Christ.
And they think that just because folks have taken money
in the name of doing ministry
to squander on their own lust in the name of ministry, that all giving is somehow to be stopped. That's ridiculous. How does that undo the kingdom truth of God,
which we have right here in the Word of God?
So actually what we're doing there is that we're
blaming and
coming against God because of what wicked men have done. That's a foolish conclusion and place to be. The apostle says here, I don't desire a gift from you, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account.
So that's what we have here in the example of the apostle Paul.
That's what a true elder and overseer does, is he cares for the eternal benefit of the saints of Christ. He's not nearsighted, and he's not self-righteous. You know, there are people who have attributed their own earnings to themselves. They went out and earned this and that, and they're very proud of that. And when they get into ministry, they have a lot of pride, and that's something men deal with because we've all worked for everything we've gotten, but it takes a humility to receive. When you're an elder who labors in the word and doctrine, you are receiving from the Lord that you may give out, and you may be kind of like a broker. And I believe Jesus's parables, some of them would coincide with this. You're taking people's investment into Christ's kingdom, and you're putting those investments to work for the eternal glory of Jesus Christ
and for the benefit of his saints in their eternal account.
Everybody is benefiting. Some people take money and they go to a broker or a financial planner and they say, here's $1,000. What do you think you can do with it? I want to invest it. Well, then it's invested. And then that money begins to multiply. And the interest that that money is earning, a percentage is going to the person who put that money in there in the first place. That would be you in this case. That $1,000, 5% interest, just a round number here, is going to you, back to you. So that money that you invested, that $1,000, is now growing. But also the person who was the or is the broker or the financial planner is getting his 2 or 3 or whatever percent. And so everybody is winning. And that's what the scriptures teach us about our giving and how we can be fellow helpers of the truth. Notice, fellow helpers. That means there's more than one of us.
And there should be many of us involved in investing in Christ's eternal kingdom.
And we're all prospering and benefiting. We read in 1 Samuel 30, verse 24, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, notice he has a wartime illustration here, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, that would be like our modern day grunts, the Army, the Marine Corps, in the foxhole on the front lines of the battle, if that would be how battle would be waged in a certain wartime theater. So, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, frontliner, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Everybody is in on the action. It doesn't matter what part you play, is what we see here in 1 Samuel 30, verse 24. It doesn't matter if you're watching the stuff in the back so that nobody steals it. It doesn't matter if you're part of ammunitions that is trucking fresh ammunition to the front liners, fresh water, food, whatever, the supply, the logistics, whatever part you play. If you're part of the medical community there, detail to help the warriors on the front line
who have been injured in the battle,
everybody is going to part alike. Everybody in the kingdom, no matter which way that you may be involved, is going to be blessed. And in this case, it's with eternal treasure, as Jesus has promised in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And so knowing that everyone who participates in any way they participate by prayer, by giving, and by action themselves is going to be laying up treasure in heaven. Why wouldn't we want to open the floodgates for everybody who desires to be a cheerful giver to be involved? What kind of selfishness would want to prevent that? Again, 3 John 8, we therefore are to receive such. And he's talking about here bona fide men, authentic men of God. We therefore ought to receive such. In other words, we therefore ought to receive these men of God that we may become fellow workers for the truth of God. To receive them means to do everything possible, one writer notes, to help them, for when we do, we help the truth and its onward march. Unquote. And that truth is the Lord's truth. So notice 3 John 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Okay, and so why would any true godly man want to hinder people from being fellow helpers to the truth, from participating in the work of the gospel?
That they also may lay up eternal treasure.
At whatever level they choose to participate in or call to participate. Wouldn't that be selfish? Think about how many people are going to be backslidden and die and go to hell because of these self-righteous people, these men who do not want them participating by giving. Remember, Jesus said in that same passage in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I think we could possibly see that from two angles, and one of them would be that when you give, that attaches you to that work. Your heart follows your giving. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, where you put it, there will your heart be also. And so when people are allowed to give, as Jesus allowed people to give, as Paul allowed people to give, and I'm sure all of the apostles in the early church, they gave. We see it throughout the book of Acts. We see it throughout the New Testament canon, beginning with the book of Matthew. when they gave, they participated in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and their hearts followed that giving.
And so they were vested in that work of Christ, in the work of their Savior.
And they were fellow helpers to the truth.
And so we should ask,
who would want to
hinder anyone from participating?
Certainly it's not the Holy Spirit behind hindering them from giving, because we have His truth on record as we're going into some of it even now in this message. And something powerful happens when we give. The book of Acts, red letters, Acts 20 verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly, right? He that sows bountifully is going to reap bountifully. God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to do what when we give? He's able to make all grace abound toward us. That would be right here in this life and in eternity, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound. In other words, be abundantly blessed to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Then it says, For he that ministereth seed to the sower, that would be God, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That would be eternal treasure. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So why would anyone want to hinder this blessing, as is too rich to expound upon fully in this message? But it includes all grace abounding toward us when we give, that we, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound or be abundantly blessed to do every good work. Sounds like a momentum, among other things, which happens when we're giving. So why would anybody that's in ministry want to hinder the body of Christ from giving and obeying God and doing such for the furtherance of His blessed gospel in this time on the earth as we look for the soon return of Jesus Christ? Okay, as a recap, think about the simplicity of the two things that happen when God's people are allowed to give. Number one, the work of God is expanded with greater funding. Number two, God's people are laying up treasure in heaven. Now, that's the kingdom. That's the truth of the Word of God. But it seems that some of us are far too involved in the quote-unquote ministry we're doing, where it's all about us. We provide all the money. We do all the work. You know, that seems a little bit dangerous and doesn't seem to be the model we see in the New Testament, beginning with Jesus and His apostles. Remember when Jesus broke the bread and multiplied the bread and fishes and blessed it, He told His 12 disciples, as they gathered everyone in groups of 50, to deliver the bread and the fishes to the people.
And at the end, when everybody was fed, there was more left over than what they had begun with. Speaking about the grace of God abounding when we give.
And if we really love the Lord and want to see His work expanded, why would we want to hinder the flow of the gifts of the body of Christ, which causes there to be more people that are reached? Following our heretical beliefs instead of the Bible on this topic of stewardship will greatly deprive many of hearing the gospel, of the gospel at work being fueled so that many can be fed, equipped, grow in grace, the believers, that is, the disciples, and also they are reaching the lost, and ministries are reaching the lost. And the fuel that we, as Christ followers, are able to pour in as we lay up treasure in heaven for the furtherance of the gospel causes many more to be reached.
With the Word of God. Let us pray, saints, together. Heavenly Father, we come to You right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask You to unite our hearts to fear Thy name, and Lord, to forgive us afresh for unwise and even sinful waste and lack of stewardship according to Your word, Your wisdom. Father, we ask for a fresh start, a cleansing, and for You to multiply Your wisdom in us, Lord, Your word and the revelation of it, that we would be
incentivized, as you have set forth, Lord, to fill the account you have for each of us in eternal places with you, Father, and Christ, and to lay up treasure in heaven, where it will be eternally effectual and abounding with blessedness and riches in your eternal kingdom, world without end. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.